You don't remember the name of Robert O'Donnell, but you've heard it. Robert O'Donnell was the Texas paramedic who climbed down a 29-foot shaft to rescue a little 18-month-old named Jessica McClure, who had been in that hole for about 3 days. He came out hailed as a hero, but he could not handle his celebrity and soon became addicted to painkillers, lost his job, lost his family, and within a short time thereafter, took his life. Robert O'Donnell. You probably don't know a Bob Long, but you've heard something of his accomplishment. He was the surveying engineer who ingeniously used the global positioning system to locate 9 miners trapped 240 feet down in a collapsed mine, figured out their location, and directed the mining company to pump oxygen into their location to keep them alive until they could be rescued. Subsequently, there was a TV deal, a financial settlement for movie rights, and some of the miners resented the fact that Bob Long was included in the financial settlement. And he internalized their resentment to such a degree that within the year, at age 37, he took his life. You probably don't know Daniel Stewart, but you've heard of his work. Daniel Stewart was a New York City firefighter whose job it was to recover human remains from the towers after 9/11. He worked so assiduously, so conscientiously, that even when he would leave his shift, he would stay over, continuing to work, sifting through the rubble, day after day, into the night, and work though he might, as conscientiously and assiduously as he could, he felt powerless in the wake of this great carnage. And at age 27, committed suicide. Robert O'Donnell, Bob Long, Daniel Stewart, they stand as representatives of the human tendency to soak up the dangerous, destructive influences and impulses of our world. For the truth is, we are sponges. It's not just high-risk professions that are subject to this. The suicide rate among senior adults has reached alarming proportions. The suicide rate among teenagers has become such an epidemic that even contemporary rock groups are singing about the subject. A few years ago, one of them incorporated a young girl's suicide note within their song. And these were her words: "I am so lost, I'm almost not here. I want to explain myself, but words fail me. I am beyond help." Her words echo the suicide note of Robert O'Donnell: "No help. No help from nobody but family." We are sponges. And yet this morning, we encounter another song. A song that's very similar to the song of that suicide note, in that it knows human anguish, it knows failure, it knows profound disappointment and paralyzing grief. But there is a difference. One is a song of despair. The other, despite its darkness, is a song of hope. One is a song focused on I am lost. I am incapable of expression. I am incapable of being saved. The other is addressed to someone else. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. If the late Margaret Gibson, English teacher extraordinaire, were here to diagram that sentence, the subject of the sentence would be the presumed you. The presumed you. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. The psalmist assumes there is a you, an understood you, who understands me. Create in me a clean heart. Cast me not away from thy presence. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. The psalmist speaks his song of anguish to an understood you who believes understands him, and thus he can allow all of the negativity inside of him to gush out. I say again, the human psyche is a sponge. Robert O'Donnell, Bob Long, Daniel Stewart, they were all altruistic. They were all willing to give of themselves. But in opening their souls to the need of the world, they also sucked up the negativity and the poison of existence. And they weren't able to process that. The sponge of their souls became saturated with sadness. Their inner life became a dark prison. It is very hard. It's almost impossible not to soak up the negativity of the world. It's impossible not to soak up sorrow. There is so much pain. It's impossible not to soak up poison. There's so much hatred, so much chaos. But we cannot allow the sponges of our souls to become saturated with that negativity, or we will become dysfunctional. We will become illogical, desperate. Suicide is an illogical, desperate act for the most part. It is a cry for help. But a cry for help that puts us beyond help. What is the prescription for a saturated soul? We have to get out of ourselves. The psalmist, through this prayer, is getting out of himself. If you want a healthier 2017, develop the skill of getting out of yourself. The psalmist unburdens his soul unto God. He's honest enough about his own failure, his own guilt, that he's even aware God might push him away. Cast me not away from thy presence. But he goes past, works through that fear. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. The psalmist has sense enough to get out of himself, out of the dark prison of his inner being, and to cast himself upon God's grace and mercy and insight. There is a word, a theological word for what I'm talking about this morning. That word is confession. Confession. A simple theological concept that we tend to shy away from because we think it has negative connotations. It sounds like groveling before God. Sounds passive. No. Confession is an active, positive act. It's taking the sponge of our souls and wringing it dry. Confession allows us to remove from our being those poisonous influences. It does not mean having confessed that we are innocent, but it unburdens us of the pretense of pretending that we're innocent. Confession does not heal us, but it unburdens us of the pretense of pretending we don't need to be healed. Confession does not remove our pain, but it unburdens us of the pretense of pretending we're not wounded. Confession is a liberating, positive act by which we wring our souls free of dangerous and destructive impulses and open ourselves to God's grace. The psalmist with great genius says, "Oh Lord, open my lips. Open my lips." We live in a very strange world. A world that looks down upon people who have sense enough to go to a trained ear. A person who goes to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a chaplain or a pastoral counselor, a trained ear, we think those people are weak. When in fact the strongest people on earth are those who have sense enough to open their lips and speak their heart to a trained and listening ear. How much healthier are those people? How much stronger are those people than those of us who walk around with our lips closed saying, "I'm fine. I don't need any help." How stupidly dangerous and destructive that is. Open thou my lips that I might praise thee. Confession is God's instrument for bringing our psyches back toward health. I mentioned last week Norman Cousins, great journalist, who writes of going to visit and observe one of the most influential Christians of the 20th century, Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer, brilliant theologian, Europe's foremost organist, turns his back on all of that to hear and respond to the call of God to become a physician in the poverty of Africa. Norman Cousins travels to visit the great Schweitzer and witness his work for a couple of days. And at the end of the day, he says to him, "Dr. Schweitzer, these people are so fortunate to have you to tend to them instead of some witch doctor." And with his characteristic impish sense of humor, Dr. Schweitzer said, "And how many witch doctors have you witnessed working?" Both of them knew the answer was no, none. So Schweitzer arranged for this great journalist to watch a witch doctor at work. The first group he talked to spoke to them for a while, listened to them for a while, and gave each of them a little bag of herbs with instructions on how to use them. The second group, he gave no herbs, but spoke powerful incantations over them and then sent them away. The third group he talked to quietly and pointed them toward Dr. Schweitzer. Dr. Schweitzer explained to Norman Cousins what had happened. He said the first group, the witch doctor knew, they had medical needs that could be healed by herbal teas, and so he gave them instructions on how to use the herbs and sent them away. The second group had psychosomatic illnesses, and so he gave them nothing but spoke to them powerful words of healing that would restore confidence in their own health. The third, he knew, had serious surgical issues, and those he pointed toward Dr. Schweitzer. Cousins heard that but said, "How can anyone expect to be healed by a witch doctor?" And Schweitzer said, "If I tell you the answer, I will reveal the trade secret that all doctors keep private. But I'm going to share it. The witch doctor heals for the same reason all doctors heal. Because we know that every patient has their truest doctor inside of them. And we know that we doctors work best when we work with the physician inside each patient, because they know best how to heal themselves. I have thought about that truth many years and realized how incredibly accurate it is. I can't tell you how many times someone has come into my office for counseling and I offer them a path and their answer is, 'I knew it. That's exactly what I thought I should do. I just needed to hear somebody else say it.'" Confession connects us to the spiritual gyroscope that God has planted within all of us. It opens our being up to the healing that God's Spirit can provide. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Renew a right spirit within me. Open thou my lips." You cannot hear that song and not feel one word: passion. Passion. Passion for life. This psalmist is choosing the pathway of life. He's using confession to connect to the power of life. Every one of us, as we structure our lives this year, can choose to remain locked in that dark inner prison, saturated by poisons. We can wring free our souls through confession and claim the words of the great physician: "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May we heed those words as we structure our souls in a positive direction for this new year. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you have authored our life and you sustain our lives and you give us the instruments we need to bring healing to our souls. May we have the courage, the humility, and the honesty to wring our souls free of poisons and to open them up to your love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even